Let's go.
Madtown's 93.1 Jams. Yeah. Nights with DJ Fusion, strengthening the lives of Madison's most vulnerable youth and families for over 50 years. Briar Patch Youth Services offers a broad array of programs to runaway, homeless, and at-risk youth across Madison and Dane County. 93.1 Jams, unity in the community. I've teamed up with the amazing team at Briar Patch to create a community awareness and resource platform. Stay attached with Briar Patch. If you're a teen or a youth in Madison or Dane County with questions, Briar Patch Youth Services is available toll-free 24 hours a day at 1-800-798-1126. More information is available on all programs at www.briarpatch.org. Madtown, let's stay attached with Briar Patch. Our children are our future.
Madtown's 93.1 Jams, Nights with DJ Fusion. Stay attached with Briar Patch. I'm hanging out today with Tyler. This is our second round. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
It's good to be back here with you. And November, we have a National Runaway Prevention Month awareness that we're trying to spread awareness to here in Madtown. Can you give me a little, just, you know, overview of what's going to happen at Briar Patch for the month of November?
Yeah, I can certainly do that. So the first thing that people might recognize or see is that along Rimrock Road, just down the street from our building, we put up about 300 green flags, and along the way there's a series of signs that kind of identify, just these are kind of generalized statistics about some of the issues that are affecting young people who are either experiencing housing insecurity or have run away from home for whatever reason. So we encourage people, if they have the time, just to come down the road and just kind of read those statistics and just kind of get the imagery of what 300 looks like. Mm-hmm. It is, it's in reference to, you know, if we're just thinking about that number, it takes on a different meaning when you actually see...
when you see it in a physical form.
Yeah, when you see it in a line like that. And at 300 is just an estimate, as a community, we try to assess the number of young people who are either experiencing homelessness or have run away. And our best estimates that on any given night of the year, there's approximately 300 youth that are in some place that's not really intended to be their home.
That's not their home, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy. It's kind of scary. Yeah. And I can't imagine what it's like for a youth in that situation, especially now it's getting colder outside. So,
for sure.
You know, couch surfing, sleeping outside, yep. Those type of options are about to start running thin.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So that's, this is a national campaign that's actually put on the National Safe Line, which is a resource that any young person can access. And then locally, we try to just kind of build off of what they've established, is recognizing November as the month that we want to bring awareness to that. And I think there's a couple of reasons. One is what you just spoke to, which is this is the time of year that there's a transition in the season. Mm-hmm. And as that happens, obviously, it changes the dynamic of viable options for young people. So if they've been in a vehicle, if they've been sleeping outside, they might be able to, you know, get by doing that. But as we get into winter, that becomes a much bigger stressor.
Maybe even viably so, a teen owning a car.
Correct.
You know, I mean, yep. Odds are pretty low at this point. So
yep.
Even that's not a realistic option.
That's right.
But, you know, it's really amazing that this is a national thing. But I think that 300 is what really localizes it.
Correct.
Here. That's what really hits it home, because, you know, there might be a quarter million people, you know, 250,000 people in the Madison area.
Yep.
But 300 youth on our streets,
yep.
You know, that should be in their home, yep. is a pretty big number.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, we're looking at this as not just a Madison issue either. And this is the other thing that I like to stress with people, is like rural communities, smaller towns in Wisconsin are experiencing this too, and actually disproportionately higher in some cases. Mm-hmm. where there are fewer resources.
Yeah, I was going to say less resources.
Yeah, exactly. So we do want to make sure that it's not just a Madison focused issue, that this is all of Dane County. It's affecting all of our communities. And to your point, you know, about the national, there's national statistics, but then when we start to bring it back closer to home, it does have a different context. It looks a little bit different. And those numbers really should mean something to us about how we respond to these issues. So that's our emphasis, is really taking an issue that a lot of times you don't see it, so people don't think it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to kind of bring some context and a visualization of that this issue is here, and we want to bring some attention to that.
So November, National Runaway Prevention Month. Tyler, what happens when a young person decides to make that choice and run away from home? Like, what are some of the first things that they may not expect to happen, or maybe they do, but you know, what's going to happen for a youth that leaves home?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many variables. Obviously, the thing that a lot of times that our young people they're not thinking through the whole process of like what options are out there. And that's on us as the adults and as the community. We're not doing a great job of educating young people about the real resources that exist. Shelter is in high demand. So emergency placement of getting someone into a place that is going to be a little bit safer. I mean, those systems are stressed so much. So a lot of times there's this a lack of awareness of like what options are going to be available to people. And so then when that becomes the default, then our concern and all of our concerns should be who else is filling those gaps and who is filling those needs. And a lot of times it's kind of unsavory folks or people who are maybe not intentionally trying to harm someone, but over time, those relationships can get stressed. Someone might be stepping in to help out, letting someone stay on their couch or whatever. But over time, the stressors of all that tends to lead to some higher risk behaviors, higher risk activities. Mm-hmm. And so those are some of the things that we like to stress that, you know, there's a huge safety risk that comes with becoming a runaway or finding yourself in a situation where, you know, you don't have a, kind of a safety net and it's all on you now. And in reality, a lot of our young people are avoiding kind of informing people what's going on. So our capacity to be able to connect with the people who need services the most often takes some time, and we're not always catching them right away because we're not aware. Young people are pretty secretive about these things that are happening. Even if it's something that there's totally helpful resources, you know, that coming to terms with the fact that something is broken down in the home and I need to avoid that or I need to flee that is a hard thing for young people to talk about. It's hard for anybody to talk about.
It's hard for anybody. It can come down to pride, maybe feeling embarrassed or even just not knowing how to express the situation. So
for
having
sure.
resources in a safe place like Briar Patch is an amazing community asset.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the goal, is that we want people who are beginning to even consider, like, that's my option, is to reach out and get help. You know, we have our helpline. That's
608-251-1126.
Yep, so we encourage people to get on there, go to the website, you know, and just explore it. You know, if it's a young person that's in school, if they talk to someone in school and just ask them to maybe help facilitate a connection with us, you know, that sometimes is the easiest thing. If you have someone that already has a relationship with a young person, it's going to make the whole process a lot easier.
Right.
Because it's hard to pick up the phone and ask for help. The other thing too that I just want to stress is that we have a lot of parents and caretakers who are also observing the struggles of their teenagers, and they might not always have access to the resources that they, or maybe they don't know that they're available, but we also support the parents when they're struggling, when their teens are acting out in ways that they're not sure where to turn. You know, we encourage the parents and the caretakers to reach out. Maybe it's a grandparent, aunt and uncle who's taken in a child, you know, get support, get help so that we can be proactive and preventative in helping keep people in their homes as opposed to getting out and finding out that it's really hard.
It's really hard. I mean, even for adults out there to maintain, it's a challenge. November, National Runaway Prevention Month, a couple of really crazy statistics that I want to talk about real quick because it helps to really drive home how important it is that we take care of our youth here. 75% to 80% of these youth will not finish their education. They're not going to finish school. And 1 in 3 are going to be sexually exploited within 48 hours of leaving home, which their homes already have abusive environments.
Correct. Yeah. So some of those statistics too, these are national statistics, but we know in the work that we do that especially the exploitation, and that can take on a lot of different forms, but sexual exploitation is a real thing. It's happening. It's easy to fall into. It's a dangerous game that, you know, unfortunately, again, we're not talking about community-wide and how that impacts things. And as far as the education piece, you know, it's easy to fall through the cracks, especially now, like during these times where, You know, some people are physically in school, some aren't. And so access to caring, supportive adults within the schools, it's easy to get lost and not be supported in that educational plan. And that's a big focus for us. So speaking to my program, which is Street Outreach, which focuses on individuals who are, you know, not connected to services, one of the first things that we're trying to do is get them back into school so that there's some consistency in their life. Because school isn't just about the education. It's
right.
It's about the community. It's about the stability of having a place to be, having some eyes on you, having resources available, getting meals. You know, most of the young people that we talk to, you know, getting food is a major issue. And so the school provides that. So we want to make sure, even if it's just to show up at school, and the schools also have a responsibility to understand, like, a kid can't learn if they haven't eaten. A kid can't learn if they don't have a stable place at night. You know, so our expectations of education might have to change for these individuals. And at the same time, that education and that stability is going to be hugely valuable. And I will, you know, give credit where credit's due. There is a lot more flexibility around getting young people educated and really tapping into, like, what their future plans are and really supporting those. And it might take an alternative path. And so I just want to make sure that people know, you know, it's important to communicate with schools about your specific needs so that they can kind of focus on how do we best help you. And this is a community effort. This isn't just a Briar Patch effort. It's all of us. You know, we're all in this together.
We're absolutely in this together, and our youth are our future. So if we don't take care of them, our future is compromised.
Absolutely.
As well as theirs.
Yep.
In the 300 youth that are potentially homeless in Madison at any given time, there are some youth that are at higher risk than others. We've got LGBTQ youth who are at a higher risk of homelessness. Also, any multiracial, black and people of color are at a higher risk of homelessness in our community. Do we have any way that we can reach out to these individuals to say, hey, we're here to help?
Yeah, I mean, I think that speaks to, one, just, you know, entrenched systems sometimes, unfortunately, aren't responding to the actual needs that exist for our young people and for our families. So, you know, it's important for all of us to look at representation within our programs, within our staff, to make sure that we're representing and reflecting back what the community looks like that we're serving and their needs that they have. So, you know, kind of making that an emphasis and making sure that we're building capacity that meet those needs, specifically around LGBT youth, you know, making sure that they have safe places that they can go and turn to and be able to express these things. You know, we have a program here called Teens Like Us, which provides drop-in services as a means to build connections before kind of the rubber meets the road. You know, like, make sure that you know who your allies are, who you're safe with. And building that capacity and teaching skills along the way, because we do see this, and we have a lot of kids that show up here and they've been thinking about these issues. Like, I don't feel right in my body. I don't know, you know, my gender isn't clear to me. My sexual orientation isn't clear to me, and they can't often go to their parent to talk about these things.
The safety in their home is what leads them to eventually potentially making that choice to run away.
Exactly. And what we find is, like, you know, there are those who are going to reject that. But we also know that there are people who might be perceived as they're going to reject that. But when a family and a parent or a caretaker is provided some support around how do you engage that, we often find that they're open to it. They just don't know. They just don't understand. And we can really do a lot of work around preventing the real traumas that happen when people flee their homes because of perceived fears. And sometimes those are real. And other times it's just a matter of educating the parent or caretaker, as well as educating the young person about how to have these conversations. And so those are some of the strategies that we try to employ, you know, with our young people. But I do think the emphasis that you brought up in relation to race, you know, we're going through some really challenging times, not only locally, but as an entire country, around how do we have these conversations? How do we support each other? How do we find common ground? And how do we try to break down some of these systems that have historically oppressed certain people in our communities. Mm-hmm. And again, we see it show up a lot in these types of services. Homelessness is one of these areas that is disproportionately affecting families and people of color. And we have an obligation to examine that and to explore that and to dig into that and be honest and real about what is that about.
Without digging into it, you can't make the change.
You can't make those changes. And so we have to have those hard conversations. And it requires leadership from every level mm-hmm. to be able to engage that. And organizations like us, you know, we're deep into this where we're trying to figure that out as well. Like, what have we done in the past that didn't work or that was actually harmful to our families? And trying to correct that and get insights and feedback and do a better job. So I think it's really important that we just keep having this dialogue and that it keeps getting brought back.
And I think some of the breakdown in the home leads is because the youth and the adult lose their trust in each other.
For sure.
And Briar Patch, you know, your programs here have an ability to help the teen. We also have a parent support program that helps the parents so that you can help the complete household and maybe reestablish some trust between the parent and the youth again. And that's something I think that's valuable too. It's not just, well, we're going to help your kid, but you're on your own.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, you're helping the complete household.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think of it as, you know, and I don't know if this is specifically stated, but like, there is no wrong entrance into services here. Like, there's a lot of different ways. So kids can get connected to us because of a activity that, you know, is viewed as being a juvenile justice or a criminal justice system. But that's an opportunity. Like, that mistake leads to an opportunity. And that mistake might be the thing that changes the trajectory for a family or for that individual. And we like to consider that. Like, you don't come in here as, we try not to have preconceived ideas about what your potential is based on which door you come in.
Right.
You know, you're all have potential, and all of the young people and all the families that we serve matter to us, and their long-term plans really do matter. And so whatever we can do to support that and helping them kind of change the course, we're open to that. And so I like to, you know, think of that in a sense that some people who get connected here and it's perceived like I screwed up and I'm going to be treated like a bad kid, or a parent's going to feel like, oh, I failed and therefore I'm going to be held accountable to this. Well, that may be part of it, but there's also going to be resources attached to it.
There's growth and you know, there's a lot more that comes with it as well. You know, maybe you're thinking that coming here could be, you know, part of a negative situation, but I think it's what turns it around for sure. You know, so pick up that phone, 608-251-1126. It's the Briar Patch Helpline. November, National Runaway Prevention Month. Tyler, you guys have 300 flags, green flags that are going to be planted out here outside the building.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, so right along Rimrock Road, you won't miss them.
No, you definitely can't hear. And it's real easy to find Briar Patch. It's right off the Beltline, Rimrock. You're maybe two or three blocks off of the Beltline here. So I'm looking forward to educating and kind of coming through here and seeing the 300 flags and getting more of a physical idea of what our streets are like here in Madtown.
That's right. And we welcome people to stop in and ask questions, you know, or take materials with them, distribute them in whatever places that they go. I'm always surprised, you know, where people find our information. So if you stop in, get some brochures, take it to places, you know, schools, you know, faith communities, whatever it might be. You never know when you encounter a family or a young person that needs services. So I just invite people to come in and see what we're about and, you know, learn a little bit about the issues.
Yeah, stop on by 2720 Rimrock Road, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, stay attached with Briar Patch. Tyler, I appreciate you. Looking forward to having you back for round three.
All right, thank you much.
Yeah, no problem.
Stay attached with Briar Patch at MadTownJams.com, where you can learn more about all of the amazing programs at Briar Patch Youth Services.